Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today on our 11th consecutive live broadcast on Thanksgiving Day. It's good to be with you. Everybody else is giving you replays, folks. We give you original stuff, new content, new information, new guests, and me, of course. Can't do without me, right? You're going to be glad you hung out with us today because David Dossie's back with us. David is our intellectual property attorney, and we used to call them patent attorneys, but now they're IP attorneys. But I guess they don't mind being called patent attorneys because they do that too. David is my patent attorney, by the way. He's my intellectual property attorney. He's the guy who helps us with all of our intellectual property, getting some of the things that we create registered some of the things we're working on with regard to the Patent and Trademark Office of the United States. He's a partner with Gallagher and Dossie in the great state of Ohio, and he's our good friend and a longtime member of our Brain Trust. David Dossie, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. It's an honor to be here, especially on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, well, thank you for being here. How'd you get roped into this, by the way?
Oh, I'm a sucker. for a good story.
I'm glad you're here. I appreciate it. And what are you thankful for today, David?
Oh, I'm thankful for, of course, the usual family, friends. I've got a great girlfriend. My family's healthy.
Well, now, wait a minute. You haven't told me about this girlfriend. I haven't heard anything about this. How long's this been going on?
Oh, a while.
Okay. You going to see her today?
She tells me I keep her in the background.
Yeah, I believe it. You going to see her today?
No, she's with her family today.
Ah, okay. Well, we got to fix that up next year. You guys got to be together. Hey, think about. I was just talking to the audience a minute ago about how cool it is to be a business owner in the 21st century in 2007. How exciting it is. I mean, the tools and the information, the power that's available to small business owners today is mind-boggling, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, even 15 years ago, a guy like myself, a patent attorney, I would have had to live in Washington, D.C., or I would have had virtually no practice.
That's right.
And today, with the Internet, and it's amazing, I just had a guy in Great Britain develop a website for me all through an intermediary website that caters to independent computer programmers. And it went seamlessly. Huh. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing. Somebody asked me the other day, I think it was during my 10th anniversary week, I think it's Andrew Sherman said, he turned the tables on me. He decided he wanted to be the host and he was going to interview me that day. And so he asked me what I thought small business owners would be doing 10 years from now. And I said, one of the things I think they'll be doing is they'll be doing business in Bangladesh as quickly as they'll do business in Bangor, Maine.
Oh, I believe it.
I mean, we already have the capability. We already have the technology. It's just the culture and the marketplace hasn't caught up with the technological capability. But I think that's what's going to happen over the next 10 years, and actually less than 10 years. I just think in 10 years it'll be like, you know, falling off a log almost, as my grandfather used to say, to do that kind of business.
And I think that's one thing every small business owner in the U.S. has to be thankful for is our intellectual property system. Many of the countries around the world, you know, are decades behind us, but see where things need to be to really protect intellectual property and have, even though our system is criticized in the press repeatedly, you know,
mostly through jealousy.
Right. It's still one of the best in the world, if not the best.
Well, you know, I'm looking forward, David, to being thankful for an international system that protects my property.
Will
we ever have that?
There are a lot of treaties between countries for patents and trademarks, so they have really simplified it.
But can they be defended, really?
Well, you're going to have to go travel around the globe to defend them, right?
Yeah.
There's no universal place to enforce things like that.
That's the hard part, isn't it?
Right.
And that's folks, I've said before, and David, you probably heard me say this, the United States has more to fear from China ripping off our property, our intellectual property, than we do from their bombs and their army. What do you think, Dave?
Absolutely, and I know I sent you some points on the price of counterfeiting and piracy, you know, regarding small business owners, and many small business owners don't think that counterfeiting and piracy affects them at all, but when you consider that like 97% of U.S. exports are associated with small businesses, it affects everybody.
Well, that's exactly right, and of course, more and more of us are doing business with larger companies. We're vertical vendors, vendor partners with these larger companies. So it's a big deal to all of us. Stand by. We're going to come back. When we come back, I'm going to ask David if Governor William Bradford of the Pilgrims, what if he had the ownership of some of this stuff that we talk about today? 20 Tales, stay with us.
This is Douglas Campbell, the Success Coach, for thesuccesscoach.com. Congratulations on turning 10, Jim. Just don't outgrow your legendary youthfulness. Here's to a rockin' good time in the next 10 years.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and there's that sweet singing Aretha Franklin, Little Respect. That's all we ask for, isn't it, small business owners? We don't ask for anything else, just a little respect from the marketplace. David Dossie is our guest. He's our good friend, and he's not only our intellectual property attorney in the Brain Trust, he's my intellectual property. My business is intellectual property attorney, and he helps us with a lot of things. David, give us your website, please.
It is invention-protection.com.
All right, so check that out. What if I went to GallagherandDawson.com? Have you got that?
No, I don't. I do have my personal name, though.
You need to go get that. But yeah. So if I went to DavidDossie.com?
Right, it'll be redirected to one of our websites.
So there you go. See, I have the same thing, JimBlassingame.com. Folks, I encourage you to get that. Get your name.com. Somehow figure out how to get it. And don't wait. Do it now. Right after the show. Don't wait. Don't do it now. Wait till after the show.
It's so inexpensive now that there's
absolutely
no reason not to.
Absolutely. And all you do is redirect it to your main website. Of course, many people, that is their main URL, their name.com. Governor David Bradford, I'm sorry, Governor William Bradford was the leader of the Pilgrims when they came ashore and when they were struggling through the first year. Now, so here's my question, and I know that it was a couple of hundred years later before, 170, 80 years later before we actually had any kind of patent laws that I think, what was the first patent? 1797 or something like that?
Right around there.
Something like that. But let's say that there were something that endured back in those days, some kind of patent law. And let's say he had the foresight to patent the Thanksgiving Day. You know, he actually owned Thanksgiving Day. Or he actually owned the icons of what the Pilgrims looked like. Or he owned the recipe for, you know, the stuffing that people put with a turkey. Whatever it might be. He had a copyright on the story about Squanto and the Pilgrims. What would be his, what would that have meant to him?
Well, if it were a utility patent, so if it was like a method of cooking a turkey,
right.
Today utility patents last 20 years from the date of filing, and there are a couple maintenance payments, actually three, that you have to make along the term, so patents can go expired before that 20 years. Now, if it were a design patent on, let's say, the way the table he designed looked, it would be a 14-year term and no maintenance fees. And then if he trademarked Thanksgiving, that could last indefinitely. You just have to keep filing renewals initially after the fifth and the sixth year, and then every 10 years.
But okay, so he came up with a recipe as a utility patent, and that's been gone for 300 years.
Right. Well,
all right.
Most
so then
people.
If he could have done that, that would have lasted for 20 years, let's say, under our current law. So he's that money's gone. Like he can't keep filing that, right?
Right.
He can't. The way to build the table, 14 years, that's over.
Right.
But if he had registered the trademark Thanksgiving Day in his name back in 1620, if he could have 1621, if he could have done that, are you telling me that his family would be getting a penny or a nickel or whatever every time somebody used Thanksgiving, and they'd have to license it from his family after all these years?
Absolutely, and that's a good illustration why not, why you don't register trademarks in your own name, but, you know, put them in your company name, so that after you die, it's not a big hassle, that the trademark can live on relatively smoothly. You know, I think Coca-Cola was registered in 1880, and it's still, obviously, they have a huge trademark portfolio. That Levi Strauss, all their, you know, a lot of their trademarks are well over 50 years old.
So, folks, think about this. You never know where, you know, I think about, you know, when people ask me about, you know, what's the big deal about small business, or should we really be paying attention to home-based businesses? I ask them if they've ever heard of something called the quadricycle, because that's the first automobile that Henry Ford made in the end of the 19th century in his garage.
Sure.
You know, I mean, you never. My point is, you never know when you're creating something. If you're creating something, it could be something very simple. You never know when that could be, how that could be valuable one day to your business, to yourself, and to your heirs.
And just like you know, many inventions now, the life I say is, you know, for a utility is 20 years. It might not be commercially a feasible product till it's, you know, 15 years into its life, but boy, those last 5 years, you could probably make a lot of money.
Right. That's exactly right. And well, you know, back to our thankfulness, being thankful and everything, David. You know, I think we take for granted too often. I know I do. I don't if I think about it, but just wandering around in my life, I just take for granted the liberty that we have, the ability to own property, the ability to enter into contracts, to create something and identify it and register it, and then that belonged to us, not just fixed property like real estate or an automobile or something like that, but something that's an idea. That's a blessing, isn't it, David?
Oh, absolutely. And think of all your books. You know, your books are copywritten. Copyright, we didn't even mention. That copyright lasts for your life plus a minimum of 70 years. So we're talking about your great-great-grandchildren could be benefiting from it.
I know somebody whose great-grandfather wrote a little music book, a little music instruction book. And for decades, his family, every member of his family, all the children, grandchildren, et cetera, got like $50,000, $60,000 a year just off the royalties. He'd been dead for decades. Stand by, 10 till, right back with David Dossie. I'm Jim Blassingame. Happy Thanksgiving. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving. Glad you're with us. Thanks for joining us as we continue to broadcast live in our 11th consecutive broadcast on Thanksgiving Day. David Dossie is our guest, and he is an intellectual property attorney, a patent attorney with Gallagher & Dossie in Cleveland, Ohio. But the beautiful part about what we have today, and you pointed this out a minute ago, David, is that you can really do what you do and live anywhere, couldn't you?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
I mean, for example, you and I've been working together now a couple of years. We've never met.
That's right. I have a lot of clients like that. In fact, many U.S. patent attorneys and intellectual property attorneys can make a business just out of dealing with foreign attorneys.
Yeah. See, I think this is a good thing for a guy like me, see, because a lot of times when people meet me, you know, that's kind of the end of things. You know, I'm. What is it that I like that Brad Paisley song? I'm so much cooler online.
Oh yeah, right.
I'm so much cooler online. But anyway, you know, there was a report that I got from another guy that we spent some time with talking about intellectual property on the show. A guy named Kenneth Crozen. I've mentioned him to you before. Kenneth did a report a while back that showed that in the late 70s, 80% of the assets on balance sheets of corporations were fixed assets, you know, desks and computers and rolling stock and buildings and things like that, and 20% were intangibles like the patents and trademarks and things like that. By the late 90s, 20 years later, those numbers had inverted to where 80% were intangible, 20% tangible. And that's a lesson for small business owners. We're moving that way ourselves. He was talking about major corporations. But David, we're moving that way ourselves. And we just can't take for granted the intellectual property we're creating, because that could be the thing that's most valuable to somebody who would want to buy us one day.
Oh, absolutely. And most commonly, I see that with mom-and-pop restaurants, that everyone that starts a restaurant, you know, has dreams of being the next McDonald's or the next big franchise, and they'll get, you know, 10 stores open locally, and they want to take it to that next level. And I say, okay, they want a franchise, and say, well, what have you done to protect your intellectual property? Because that's, after all, what you're basically licensing. It's not necessarily your hamburger recipe.
Right.
And it often, surprisingly, they sit back in the chair and take a deep breath and realize they haven't done anything.
Well, that's exactly right, and it's just, it's, there are so many things out there, folks, that we're doing these days, that you're doing with technology, that you're doing with computers, that you're modifying with the software that you're using, that you're having people build for you. Everything that you're doing, everything that's of any kind of a creative nature at all, any kind of a name, a term, or whatever, and you know, not only, David, and we've talked about this before, not only from the standpoint of it might be, it's your property, and you want to be able to claim ownership of it, but you might discover that you've thought of something that somebody else thought of first, and you could actually be infringing on them. And if you make a big investment in something somebody else owns, you got a problem, don't you?
Absolutely. And we tell people all the time, they'll come in for, they want to know if they can get a patent on something, and we'll say, yeah, that's fine, but you may be able to get a patent on it, but you also might infringe 5 other patents in the process of launching that product. So you really want to make sure that you have what we call freedom to operate, or freedom to actually sell that product.
Yeah.
And big business has been doing that for a long time, but smaller businesses are finally starting to realize, ooh, you get hit with one of these lawsuits, and you're out $50,000 before you blink an eye. So you need to do a little research, you know, do your due diligence up front before you launch a new product.
But the same process that allows somebody else to defend their assets against you allows you to defend your assets against them.
Exactly.
No matter how big the company is, right?
And that's another great thing about the United States is, Every week there's a success story about the little guy finally getting paid because of a big company thinking that they could walk all over him.
Right. Hey, David, thank you for being here. I hope you have a great Thanksgiving day.
Thank you. You have a great Thanksgiving, too.
And be safe, and we're looking forward to next time already.
Sounds good.
David Darcy, ladies and gentlemen. That's invention-protection.com, right, David?
Yes.
Got it. Ladies and gentlemen, as I wrap up our 11th live Thanksgiving Day program, I want to say it again, small business owners, I'm thankful for you. I really am, because I don't want to think, I don't even want to imagine what the United States and the world would look like without you. It would not be pretty, and we're so much better off because of you. And I'm thankful for you. I'm proud of you for all the things that you do for so many. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'll leave you with this last thought. Always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.